time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. And now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave. And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. It is a good Tuesday afternoon.
Well, it's a little chilly.
It's lousy, but it's good because
we're still alive.
The captain is back.
I am back. I'm not fully energized yet, though.
Well, you know who I saw? There's still coffee left. So
I saw Vaughn. I got a picture. I forgot to show you to him because we were busy talking before we got on the air of, I mean, really heavy stuff. We solved the world problems. But I have a picture of Juan Valdez.
Juan Valdez was
in Aruba.
Aruba.
Yeah.
He probably came because he heard you were there.
Well, you know, he has several enterprises there. And the mule was off doing promotions in, where was it? Venezuela. He's trying to get the coffee business going.
The mule is?
Yeah, but he got to be careful because the people are hungry there. They
make sure. Yeah, I'm telling you, yeah.
So,
they're going around with forks. Again, you got to be careful.
So the mule's doing fine. He got out of there.
Yeah.
It, little success. But, it was good to see him. He looks great.
Yeah, he's never going to be able to retire, is he?
No, as long as there's a coffee bean that needs to be picked, Juan will be there. But but he's got his coffee shops. You have sandwiches and things like that.
Sandwiches now too.
Oh, yeah. He's such a good guy, and yeah, it was nice for him to bring the coffee in for the day.
Yeah,
and he's tired too. He likes coming here and give us the coffee, and
he could stay and rest a little bit, but he doesn't. He just drops it off. Talks a few minutes.
See his jet, though. You know how Donald Trump, when he was running for president, he has that big Trump
jet. Jet, yeah.
This is one. On the side with a big coffee bean and the mule on the tail, and it's a very impressive shot. I assume
he's the mule on the plane tail, huh?
Yeah. it was in the Arubian airport. Wow, what an impressive thing! And I spent a lot of time at the Arubian airport. Let me tell you. I called you and said, we had some problems getting back home. Well, Sunday, I'm lost track of time. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, we were all set to go, but we smelled something funny,
We were in the plane.
All of us were sitting, Something smelled funny. It was jet fuel.
Oh, okay. It wasn't like a burrito.
No, it wasn't a burrito. Yeah. No, we're done with Juan. Juan's chest was fine. But Nancy and I were sitting in our, seats and, tired. We were ready to go home. And smells, it was jet fuel. There was a gasket leak of between where they put the fuel in and then the gas opening thing, the fuel thing. Mm-hmm. And there was jet fuel on the tarmac. It was they use more or less kerosene is jet fuel. It's not as refined. So it wasn't a big spill, but so we're sitting there. Okay, hopefully this is not going to. And the captain says, "I think we can get going here." As soon as they put the luggage on, 5 minutes later, the flight has been canceled.
They found a bigger problem with the thought.
I don't know what happened, but you're talking about no other availability at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Aruba to get back home. That was it. That was it. So here we have a mad rush of about 180 people. We're all escorted out of the airport. We don't have to go through customs again.
Okay.
And then I was getting the luggage. I said, "Nancy, get to the gate agent as fast as you can." So she did. We got a nice hotel right next to the airport. And they were cheapskates, American. $12 each for food.
$12?
For $12 for a...
You can't get a vending machine meal for that.
So I'm going to write a stern letter to American Airlines. So, and just the way everything figured out, we were going to Akron Can. Because we love Akron Can Airport. It's just so convenient.
It is.
So I'm calling and said, well, if you want to go back to Akron Can, you're looking at Monday or even Tuesday. What? Yeah, it's just the way things, you know, the connecting flights. I said, oh, my goodness. Well, is Cleveland available? Oh, standby. Let me see. How about Columbus? Well, you can get in there at 2 in the morning. Then I had to rent a car. And I look up, the car dealer rental cars are closed.
Yes, yeah.
How about Pittsburgh? Oh, 11:30. Oh, gosh. Put us on standby. So, okay. And unfortunately...
Standby for Cleveland.
Yeah, standby okay. for Cleveland. So, get us on. Just put us on standby. So, we get to the airport, and it's swamped. On a Monday, it's unusual. Well, there was 4 flights, full capacity, that were canceled on Sunday. All these people... Southwest had a plane. There was a couple other planes that malfunctioned. 4. They never had this happen before. Now, Aruba's airport's nice, but it's not designed to handle a rush like that. It was a madhouse. 2.5 hours to get through customs again. We had to go through customs. And fortunately, customs is right there in Aruba Airport.
Yeah, yeah.
2.5 hours. So we finally get going. Hit Charlotte. We fortunately got seats on the flight to Cleveland. We're all ready to go, and they get on the air. At the last minute, ladies and gentlemen, American Airlines decided to switch pilots. Right at the time we're supposed to leave. Why? So it took the pilots 45 minutes to an hour to readjust everything. We finally get home at like 3:30 in the morning. I tell you what, I was not a happy camper.
No, and you've always enjoyed your trips to and from Aruba.
Well, I've flown a lot over my career.
So, yes,
but I've never had a fuel leak. I've had other mechanics. Never had a fuel leak while sitting on the plane. I was just hoping somebody with a cigar wasn't out there. We would have been Krispy Kremers.
The kid with the luggage or the cigarette. You'll all be goner. Yeah.
And I've never had, at the last minute, I've had crew problems before. But at the last minute, taking the pilots out of the cockpit and sending them off to another plane. I don't know what happened there. On top of that, I know we have it to get to sports, but
sounds like a sport to me is the sport of getting home.
And then, you know, we had the reorganization meeting of regular organization meeting
of Yon,
yeah. The Yodeler Successors Worldwide Network. And there was all kinds of drama. Peekaboo Holstein is pregnant again.
Again?
10th kid coming on. And she's only 31.
Man, she.
But the problem
she needs to say no once in a while.
Well, the problem is, David, her husband's had a vasectomy.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Either
wasn't a very good vasectomy or something else is going on.
Then
they
got
there.
Sebastian Pavarotti, you know, the distant relative of the great Pavarotti.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of tension in the room. But we got through. Oh, we did have a highlight, though. Slim Whitman IV was there. I think it's... No, it was the third.
The third, okay.
The third. That was his grandson. The fourth is his great-grandson. And they showed up. That was nice. And they sang a couple of his, Sioux City Sue.
Rosalie.
Rosalie. Yeah, yeah. Tumbling Weed. And, of course, the great Martian Attack song.
Indian Love Call.
Indian Love Call, that kind of set the mood better. And we're all set. And they wanted me to be the head guy. I said no. Glad to sit in as an advisor to Jan. But and they had a birthday cake for me. You know when
they did.
Yeah, it was 49.5 candles. Because I'm 49.5 designated. You know, until they can find Dr. How Do You Do, they realize I'm no longer 49.
Yes.
But they can't give me the 50.
Right.
So That's it was a good trip. I mean, but there's drama. There was drama.
Yeah.
Other than that, and the weather was just kind of messy too.
Really,
a lot of rain for it's a desert.
Actually,
island.
We actually had some decent weather up till today.
Yeah.
And I mean, 60 degrees.
Yeah, I mean,
a couple days before that.
Yeah. And Nancy, dragked me, kicking and screaming, to the ostrich farm. They have an ostrich farm.
They have an ostrich
farm?
I thought it was only in Australia.
No, they have an ostrich farm in Aruba.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to go see the local artisans. The first Sunday of every month, they have artisans show up at the ostrich
farm. At the ostrich farm.
In their pavilion. You're going to get me off the beach to go to some artisan fair at an ostrich farm? Yes. Yes, you're going. And I couldn't let her drive because she ended up in Venezuela. Because she,
okay.
And that's hard to do because you would have to go across the ocean. But
she would
make it.
That would be tough. Yeah.
It would be tough. And so I went. So in protest, I dug a hole and put my head in it. In
the ostrich farm.
Yeah.
So you didn't look at all the art anyway.
So I said, look at all this. She's a local artist. My foot, they were made somewhere else. Come on. There was a few things there that. So other than that, it was a great trip. Well, a little disappointed about certain things, but other than that, hey. Life continues. I did follow sports a little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah, I don't know. What do you want to start with?
Well, tonight, let's start with some good news. Tonight, the Cavaliers play Boston.
Yeah.
And the Cavaliers are taking a 15-game win streak into this game.
You know, we talked about, we both like J.B. Bickerstaff.
Yes.
But I'm now saying, J.B. Bickerstaff who?
Yeah.
Well, he was.
Tim Davison told me you're really going to like what Kenny Atkinson does with his team.
Well, yeah. I mean, how can you say no to that?
He said this before the season started. He says, Dave, just wait. You're going to, I guess, because I did kind of complain. I just think that JB got a raw deal.
He did.
As long as he's brought this team up and so far. And then Tim said, well, you know, that's about as far as JB can take a team. I said, you're going to like what Kenny Atkinson can do. I've seen it, followed him in some other teams and stuff. Mm-hmm. You're really going to like what he does to the Cavaliers. You can't complain about that.
Well, you have to give Bickerstaff credit for there is a defensive mindset still with the Cavs, not as
yes.
much as emphasis on it. I thought he did a good job coaching the team, and I don't know whether they would have been 15-0 with Bickerstaff at the helm this year, but it's immaterial. They brought in a more, quote, offensive-minded coach.
Right. But there's still defense there because there's several games I've heard commentators talk about saying if it hadn't been for their defense, they wouldn't have won or wouldn't have won by this many. They still keep defense in mind, but they're opening up the scoring.
Well, there was one game where Atkinson was not happy with the defensive performance because it seemed to be lackluster, the defense. And he got on him. He got on him, and that changed. After that, they did. They did. 15-0. I mean, Boston, well, they're defending world champs.
Right.
And they're playing there, I believe.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
They're playing there.
And I've been fine. Gee, 15-0 is the best record of any Cavs team to start a season ever.
Best record of any new starting coach on a team,
yeah,
period.
Yeah, and I've had very little opportunity to watch him. I'm going to watch him tonight and look forward to it. I mean, it's meshing. He is putting in Wade at the right time. LeVert is doing a great – he says LeVert has been a perfect basketball player in the role I have assigned him to. I mean, these are great accolades. And, of course, the two big guys, I guess Mobley is out for a while. But right now, it's almost unbelievable. 15-0.
And there actually been some complaints from the Cavs that they're not getting fouls called against them. You know, they get called into fouls, but other teams don't. And like when they played Golden State only got called for like 15 fouls,
mm-hmm.
and the Cavs got called for like 25. And, mm-hmm. and there were some things that apparently have been, because I haven't been able to watch them, but have been blatant fouls that the refs never called, especially in that game.
There's a guy named Blayton?
Blayton.
No. Where does he play for?
No, he plays for the refs, apparently.
Well, that Blayton guy, you gotta call him. That Blayton guy.
So that they don't get their shots at the foul shots and such. And you know, to them, that's been the frustrating part. Mm-hmm. You know, that they've been working together, very well, and they had what was it, their top guy, they had him sit out the last game, and they still won handedly.
Yeah, good old
the guy that they just resigned.
Oh gosh, the guy Donovan Mitchell.
Yes, they let him sit out for the game, and so he'll be full force going into
Darius
tonight's
Garland's
game.
Done a, everybody's done a nice
job. Garland picked up the pace of it just,
everybody's done. Niang. He's unleashed something in them.
Yeah.
This offensive, maybe, I don't know how, like, Bickerstaff's, what did he say, hold back on offense? I mean, I don't know.
No.
Bickerstaff is an experience. I think he was a player. His
yes.
father was a head coach. He was a head coach. I mean, what didn't he see that Atkinson sees?
Maybe it's just the whole mindset. Not just that, but that, you know, what a coach preaches. And Bickerstaff was more for preaching defense. He was.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't against offense. You still got to have offense to win.
I mean, he did take them to the semifinals of the.
And we had several players out.
We had
three players out that last game.
You had Jared Allen. You had Mitchell out, and I forgot who else was out.
And we still made a bit of a game of that.
Nobody
laid down.
Okay. Right now you can't complain about the coaching switch, right? I mean, you can't. But I don't know. I think left to coach this team, he could have made it to the next level, Bickerstaff. But Detroit sees him as a guy who can rebuild a team.
And that's what he's doing. He's back to rebuilding the team.
Yeah.
And,
obviously he loves the game. I mean, after you're a head coach for a few years, you're pretty well set for life.
I sure.
Mean, yeah, and he probably doesn't need to work again, but he loves the game. And I liked him. I just think he was a good coach, but I don't.
Here's a question I have.
You have a question?
I have a question.
I don't know if I have an answer.
It's November.
It's November.
It's early in the basketball season.
Early.
Are we beating ourselves up just to... Because what I was hearing, listening to the fan a lot over the last week or so, is that a lot of, especially the NBA players themselves, play the season half-heartedly. Then when they get to playoffs, it's a completely different game and they play completely different. Are we burning ourselves out too early?
Boy, I don't think so. I mean, these are professional athletes. I mean, I don't think when they were 5-0, we're going to go full bore and wear ourselves out. I mean, I don't think so. I really don't. I mean,
because essentially this is the same team as we had last year.
Let's look at Golden State Warriors in 2015. We beat them for the world champion. They started out in 21-0. I mean, I don't know if we'll get to that level. But they didn't. I mean, they played pretty darn good basketball right to the last game of the season, and we were very fortunate to win the world championship.
Yes.
I don't know if there's any example that you can show where a team just in basketball started off so well and then, you know, kind of slowed down at the end. Now there's going to be 15, and you know, we're doing quite well. I mean, I don't know where we stand.
Well, and the injuries line up, you know, throughout the season too. And well, I guess more than wearing them out and wearing them down, you wear them into injuries possibly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're These divisions don't make any sense anymore in the NBA. I don't know why.
Well, at a certain point, and it becomes two divisions.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
At a certain point in the season.
I mean, we're going into Boston. They have 11-3 record. It's going to be tough in their home court.
Absolutely.
And there was.
And they might show, look, we're the champions. We're going to show you who we are.
Yeah. And there was some, I don't know who wrote the article. Maybe it was, because I think is it Ryan Lewis? He did the baseball too. I'm not sure. Well, it was maybe Nate Ulrich because he does more commentary now than he used to.
Okay.
So maybe it wouldn't be all. It's not going to be horrible if we, if the Cavs lose a game. Maybe a little humbling, and 15-1 is not bad, but. I think they're playing. They're going to play full bore right now until they have a possibility of beating this record. After they beat the record, I think Atkinson he knows enough about basketball to realize it's like 82 games is probably in basketball tougher than 162 baseball games because when you're playing basketball, there's no slow time. Up and down the court, and under the basket, you're getting beaten a lot, and it's I think one of the toughest games there is, and I don't know to answer your question. I don't think so. I just believe that they'll be able to, once they get back into a regular rhythm. And right now they're playing way, way above average.
Right.
And now with this great start, but I think the pressure is off. I mean, you start 15, your chances of getting the playoffs are pretty darn good.
Yes.
And that's a major accomplishment. My home court advantage would be nice at the end of the season. There are things associated with having a really good record. I mean, there were some years for the Cavaliers. Yeah, they were around, a little over 500. They knew they were going to get in the playoffs, and they didn't play as sharp as they could have. If they didn't care whether they went to the division. They just wanted to make sure they were in the top four, right? I mean,
yeah,
that was it. I mean, LeBron. So to answer your question, I really don't know, but I think it's exciting. I guess it's the hottest ticket around right now to go see the Cavs.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And
certainly a lot tougher to get than a Browns ticket.
Maybe they are. I think they are playing at home.
No, they're in Boston. They're in Boston.
Well, oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. You're right. And Boston's an excellent team. They really are. And it wouldn't surprise me if their winning streak ends. But it's been fun. I mean, I haven't been here to enjoy it. But, I mean, the yodeling responsibility and all this stuff.
That's why you didn't want to be – you wouldn't be able to see any Cavs games or Guardians games.
If I was ahead of yodeling.
Yeah, forget it.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be floating all over the world and broken down planes.
Well, not only that, they were ready to send one of the extra nuclear power pontoon boats after me, too, because we do have some maneuvers I can't tell you about coming up.
Well, don't tell me, no. Is that still going to happen under this new administration?
I don't know.
They're cutting costs.
There's some concern. Instead of when we, have an off season.
Mm-hmm.
We put it into a secret location off of 224 in a formerly blimp dock, but I can't tell you exactly where, and that costs some money.
Sure does.
Well, rumor has it I'm going to have to put it in my garage. I don't want all those isotopes.
No.
Oh, my dog Ozzy would not. I don't
know. Well, one kid's drone going the wrong place and boom, lose your garage.
So, I'm hoping that whoever takes over our agency will see the enormous importance of our mission, which I can't say what it is.
Okay. No, we can't. Looking up Kenny Atkinson here.
Oh, yes, Kenny. Yes,
Kenny,
good.
He was averaged 18.9 points per game during his senior season at Richmond. He played professional in the CBA. USBL, which would be the United States Basketball League, whatever that was. Actually, it's no longer in operation. in the U.S. And 1990 to 92, he was overseas in Italy, France, Germany, Spain, and the Netherlands from 1993 to 2004. Tryouts with the NBA teams included the Knicks in the summer of 91. He was inducted into Suffolk Sports Hall of Fame in 2020. He started his coaching career with the Knicks as an assistant coach in August 6th of 2008. Then he made his debut as a head coach with the Brooklyn Nets October 26, 2016. He had 122 to 117 loss to the Boston Celtics. Got his first win as NBA coach 2 days later when the Nets defeated the Pacers, 109-94. I was looking for his record. They finished the season 28-54. In his third season, he led the team to a 42-40 record, winning 14 more games than the previous season. And then in his fourth season, he led the team 28-34 and before he stepped down to coach as head coach. He then went out to the Clippers as an assistant coach for the 2021 season, 21-24. He was assistant coach at Golden State. And there's where he is, 2024 here in Cleveland.
Well, when they hired him, Steve Kerr, the head coach of Golden State, just gave him all kinds of accolades about how diligent he was. And you know, we've talked about this before. It's not necessarily your best players who make good coaches.
Right,
yes. You know what I mean? I mean,
Tommy Lasorda barely made it out of the minors. No. Sparky Anderson wasn't a first-rate player.
No.
Although Tito Francona, who's now in Cincinnati, was...
Who stole our hitting coach.
Yeah, he was a little better than average.
Yes, he was, but he got hurt.
He got hurt, and he's a far superior manager than he was.
Oh, and I'm just thinking the World Series manager, Aaron Boone, was a average to a little above average player, and so was Dave Roberts. By the way, Dodgers made quick work of the
Yankees. They did,
which didn't bother me at all. Did you watch? I mean, I don't know if we had 2 weeks ago we even talked about it, but
I don't think we did. I didn't. No, the answer is no. I don't think I watched a full inning of it.
Oh, I watched it, you know, Otani was not a major factor. He hurt his shoulder.
Well, neither was their best hitter at on the Yankees. He was like 0 for everything.
Who was that guy who just tore the ball off the cover? He was from Atlanta. They traded. He went free agent. I can't think of his name. Freeman? Freddie Freeman.
Oh, okay. Man,
what a series. He was the MVP of the series. And they make quick work of him. And Aaron Judge looked like he was just an average guy. Or worse.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, he didn't make it to 200.
No.
Batting average for all the playoffs.
No. So, here's a guy who paid his dues, played basketball in the lower echelons of professional sports, but he learned the craft. He learned the craft of coaching basketball, and it's a difficult sport.
It could very well be. I mean, one thing you have to say, no matter what you feel about the Golden State Warriors, they play tremendous team basketball.
They do.
And for 3 years, if he let that soak in and brought that to Cleveland, we could be in for an exciting run with him here.
Oh, I would love to have I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to win a World Series, I doubt. Well, I'm not a Browns fan, so Super Bowl is, you know, I don't. But the Bills, my favorite team.
Hey, they're doing well.
They're doing well. They beat Kansas City, but they still have to beat them in the playoffs. I mean, that's a different story. But I think, you know, we talked about this a couple of years back. Who had the best chance of winning a national, you know, championship? And we thought it was at the time the Guardians.
The Guardians, yeah.
And now it would look like it could be the Cavaliers again. Of course, it's still early.
It's very early in the season.
Very early, and the playoffs are a whole different ballgame.
And both the Cavs and the Guardians are both young teams.
Yeah. Donovan Mitchell is just, he's a class young man.
He did sign the extension, so we've got...
That's why these tickets are $400
Really?
Well, I mean, if you want a good seat, you're paying out the nose.
Wow. I had no idea what that was.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you can find seats in the girders.
In the girders.
In the girders for $50 They hand you a pair of cheap opera glasses.
Yeah. No, but if you drop them, you're in trouble. Well,
so, but... You know, a professional basketball game is exciting to go to. It's a lot of entertainment. It's these are one of the best athletes in the world. They run back and forth at their size.
Yes.
I'm very happy. I'm very happy for the fact that the start with the Cavaliers has been so successful.
And I, as much as I like Bickerstaff and what he did for this team, I think he helped get this team to where we are today.
Yeah.
But it would not be the same team if he were there in charge right now.
We look at fans. We look at the surface of it, right?
Right.
We say, well, Bickerstaff, look, on the surface, it was a pretty darn coach. But you got professionals like Altman and other consultants who say, you know, he's a
who spent a lifetime in basketball.
Yeah. Analyzing coaching patterns and everything. And they said, he's a good coach, but he's just not going to get us, in their estimation, to the next step, which I don't understand. But that's what they thought.
So many times you get somebody that's moving them along, and you pull the rug out from underneath that person, the team goes down.
Yeah.
So many times.
Yeah. So apparently the team's not going down. They dispatched Detroit, too, and went in their first few games.
But again, Detroit's an even younger team, and they've restarted the rebuild process. And to be honest with you, they picked the right guy to help.
Yes,
do that.
And
I agree. We're both very glad that he got picked up.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I never, you know, of course, fans being what they are, when they lost to Boston, oh, he got to be fired. Why? The man took us from here to the.
To the
championship of the Eastern Division.
Yeah. And with a bunch of players out.
Yeah. So, but you can't complain. The results are the results. I mean, that's all. It's a business.
Yes.
It is a business. And they're 15. I'm sure everybody's excited about it. And I look forward to being able to see the game on TV. I don't know if I'll ever see a game on baseball again. I don't know what's happening.
Well, we don't know who's got that. I mean, Major League Baseball's took over the licensing, and we don't know where that's going from there.
Well, I don't know. It's not Bally anymore, is it? It's,
no.
It's what is it now? FanDuel.
FanDuel.
Oh, but gambling is... Oh. Anyway, FanDuel.
Pete Rose out of the Hall of Fame! Yes. Yeah. Okay. By the way, while you were gone, I did get to read that Pete Rose column. I'm sorry. I did read it. Terry Pluto spent an afternoon with Pete Rose during, I think, when they were in Florida, because Pete was watching his son play playing spring ball, and Terry sat down with his wife and they talked quite a while the whole afternoon.
I could see sitting down with Terry Pluto. The man can turn a conversation into a really good article. He's one of the best.
Yeah.
He really is, and he wrote a very enlightening article about Jerry Faust.
Jerry Faust.
Go. I met him a couple times. My brother knew him, and he passed away a week or so ago. And he was quite a character.
He was.
But he, you know, the article about Terry Pluto. Did you get it, by the way?
I did. Yes, we got it. We got it.
So anyway, my clone. Thank goodness my clone could do it because I was exhausted.
Yeah, you'd have to be. Yeah.
So anyway, he realized in 1994 when they played his last college game at the Rubber Bowl that he went from the glorious surroundings of Notre Dame to a small little office with steel file cabinets in a dingy place in the Rubber Bowl. It was his last game against Ohio U, and they won. They carried him off the field. They were 1-11 or something like that. But it was his last game. He knew it. He was going to be terminated. They kept him around like as a goodwill ambassador.
Yes, yes, they did.
And he loved
that. And to help recruit and such.
But the conversation that he recalled that conversation after Jerry Faust passed away, Terry did, and he wrote a very nice article about it. Mm-hmm. He had his limits. He was a fabulous high school coach.
Yes.
And
that was Cincinnati Moeller?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is with Cincinnati Moeller is they start their kids early and keep them together, and they keep them in the same position, which is actually what Maslin does as well, but they're not as big.
Yeah.
And so these kids grew into the position and into their position and into the position and into the position, each year getting better. So they had, for a while, they didn't have a dynasty. Boy, they won lots of years of the state.
Yeah, state champ. But his dream job was the Notre Dame job, and he kept writing letters to the, I think the provost of, Father Joyce.
Okay.
Father Joyce was the provost of Notre Dame, and he kept the letters, and then when Dan Devine retired, they hired him, which was, it went from a high school to
yes.
one of the premier football programs, and had very marginal success, to say the least. And he just, it's a different way. That rah-rah stuff in high school doesn't equate to the college level, and certainly doesn't equate to the professional level.
Correct.
and then after he was let go at Notre Dame, he went to Akron U and didn't have a lot of success either. Of course, you don't get the talent.
No, you don't. And to be in the Division I, as they are.
And even though they hired him, a very good coach, Jim Dennison, was
booted
upstairs.
And then he left.
My brother is still upset about it. Jim Dennison's still alive and doing well. And they have my brother and him talk on a regular basis. And it was a shame because he was doing a good job.
He was.
And they thought, well, we were going from a different level of football to Division I, and we think Jerry Faust is going to help us. Well, he didn't.
Yeah.
But it gave notoriety to the program.
It did. It did.
But it's been a trail of tears for the most part since the Akron's just...
Since the promotion, yeah.
Akron's just... The football program is just... they're going to play... Gosh, I think it's... I think they're playing tonight. There's like a Tuesday game.
A Tuesday game?
ESPN 47 is covering the Akron-U-Kent game. Akron's 2-something, and Kent hasn't won a game. They're playing for the wagon wheel.
Oh, this is the wagon wheel game.
Whoopee.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Moorhead's a good coach. I mean, the poor guy just doesn't have the talent. I mean, in this day and age of name, image, and likeness and trying to get the players necessary.
There's one player on this team that has an NIL contract.
I know who it is.
Yeah.
Zippy.
No player has an NIL contract. You know what? And I blame the alumni for that. Alumni are always interfering and trying to do things for these players and such, and that gets the program into trouble. Well, it isn't a problem now, and they're not doing it.
No. Well,
I realize it's only Akron, but you're going to get your car dealerships to bring your defensive line down for a Saturday.
Yeah, give them 50 bucks.
Give them something. And then next week you bring the offensive line. And you give them a dinner and you give them something.
But you know what? Most people don't care about Akron U's offensive line.
Well,
I mean, it's just a program that has very little core fans.
I mean, I don't think Kent State football has won a single game yet this year.
No, they haven't.
Yeah.
I mean, and Akron just fired their AD, Charles Guthrie.
Really? Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And so, obviously, he's not getting the... the program where it should be. I don't know how you can get an Akron U program to be where it is. But, you know, you got other MAC teams that are doing well, but they're never going to be in the
MAC's never going to take over the big teams.
No.
You know, they're never going to beat the Big Ten for a
Well, they have to have the Big Ten around so they get those big paychecks for those sacrificial lamb games.
The Big 18? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they go from California to Rutgers. I mean, that's unbelievable.
You might as well get two more teams and make it even the Big 20. The Big 20.
The Big 10.
The Big 20.
One of the other conferences are just folding. They can't get the TV money. So Akron would probably make a little money on the game with Kent. I can't believe it's being even televised, but it is. And because there's some interest there.
Tuesday and Thursday games came about to bring money to, I think, some of the smaller conferences. Yeah, yeah. I didn't even realize there was a Tuesday game. So
I didn't either. But it was I'm almost Thursday wouldn't play because we got the Browns playing on Thursday.
Yeah, they do. And that should be shown locally here.
It should.
I gave up my Prime, but you know it's supposed to be sold to a local station.
You gave up your Prime many years ago.
I don't think I was ever in my Prime.
Well, I tell you what, one good thing about Aruba, you see a lot of young ladies in there.
In their Prime, yeah.
My eyes are sore from
even with the sunglasses on. Because you got to wear sunglasses.
They're gawking sunglasses, specialized gawking glasses.
Okay.
Nobody can see in, yeah. Which is good.
Yeah.
Hubba hubba. I mean, there's bathing suits that literally are held together by dental floss. That's how skimpy they are. Not that I noticed or anything.
No.
You
heard about it.
I heard about
it. Yeah.
But some, you know, I'm not trying to be sexist or anything, but there's some ladies, I mean, they show everything. They're, you know, basic derriere that are so big that you could actually put billboards on them if you wanted to. But they bear all, that's their right to do so, and I have no problem with it. But anyway. Okay, you're what are you doing?
I am just trying to stop it.
We're done?
No, we're not.
Oh!
I'm just trying to get this set up.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now we're set
up. All right, phew, I thought, geez, we even haven't talked about the fiasco.
We haven't yet. Actually, we got a little bit of time. It's probably time to roll over to the mighty, mighty, mighty Cleveland Browns. The 2-8 mighty Cleveland Browns.
What was the article I read? If you would just look at the offensive stats and not know the results of the game, you would think Cleveland would have won.
Actually, that last game, all of our numbers were and he didn't throw an interception.
No.
And Carr threw two interceptions. So all that in mind.
They still lost 35-14.
Yeah, and that means what the heck happened to your defense? They allowed three touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
What happened to the Schwartz?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, and the special teams, and the kicker.
The kicker missed three field goals.
Didn't he miss an extra point, too? Because they went for two.
You're right. Yeah, went for two. They had to make up that extra point he missed, and he missed three field goals. That's 10 points he missed.
Oh, yeah, he's a basket case, according to Terry Pluto. The kicker has got, you know, you got the yips. Golfers get the yips. Kickers get the yips. And, you know, Chubb is making progress, steady progress.
He had 11 carries and 50 yards.
Well, the man's coming back.
I understand. You can't expect him to be. He's and they've been, thankfully, they've been careful not to rush him in for too many carries. You know, because when he was in his prime, he was doing 22 to 26 carries a game.
Yeah. And maybe, but I don't know how much they. It depends on what the future holds.
The now Browns. His contract is over this year, right?
Yeah. The Browns are 2-8. No hope to make any kind of playoff run. And let's face it. I mean, mathematically, maybe they could win the next. How many? There's 10. There's only 7 left. So,
yeah.
I mean, 9-8. I doubt that would get you into the. They're playing Pittsburgh on
Thursday. That would get you the prediction I had, but that ain't going to happen. First of all, they're playing Pittsburgh, who for last week, on last Sunday, didn't score an offensive touchdowns and still won the game, beating the Ravens.
Yeah, 18 points all by field goals.
All by field goals. But you know what? That's the second game this year they've won without a touchdown.
Yeah. So so Thursday they play at home Thursday, the Browns do. So we get to see
Browns
that.
Are here or
no, they're they're Pittsburgh's coming here.
Pittsburgh's coming here.
Yeah. And it's just you know, there's a lot of hope at the beginning of the season, as there always is.
But there wasn't as much as previous seasons. There was so much question about Deshaun Watson. And even last game that we lost, Winston threw over 300 yards without an interception.
Mm-hmm. Well, they played a really good game up until the beginning of the fourth quarter. And then this Taysom Hill.
Hill, yeah.
Went nuts. I mean, two long runs. He even threw a pass.
He threw a pass for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Earlier in the game, yeah.
And they couldn't stop him. The defense didn't stop him. I mean, Denzel Ward had a good game, but everybody else did. Miles Garrett didn't have a sack.
No.
The Schwartz defense seems to be collapsing in front of our eyes.
Another offensive lineman is out for the season.
Nick Harris is gone. If I had to make a prediction, I would think that Stefanski is gone after this season. I mean, they had every expectation to make the playoffs. The ownership did. The doofuses, even though
they placed their expectations on Deshaun Watson. Turning to, and because even at the beginning of the season, when we weren't hearing all the excitement, we don't need him to be his greatest. We need him to be just average or above average and not hurt us. Well, he wasn't even average.
Yeah.
He was one of the lowest, when he was starting this year, he was one of the lowest ranked quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks.
I'm surprised they didn't have more moves at the trade deadline. They did get Cooper's gone, right?
Amari. That's Cooper. It.
Yeah.
Oh, Cooper went before. Right at the trade deadline, somebody else went. Went to the Lions.
Yes, who was that?
Went to the Lions.
Yeah, I know who you're talking. I just can't recall
right now. One of the defensive players went to the Lions.
For a fifth round back.
And the Lions pummeled 53 to something.
Oh, they're I'm hoping, and this would be a great conflict, the trade in Buffalo. Two gritty Midwestern teams that, my goodness gracious, what a Super Bowl that would be. Not in the eyes of the media, me personally.
Media would not like that. But you know what? Media loved Los Angeles and New York, but you know what? They got cheated because the best ratings come in the last game, in the seventh game.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't get near seventh
game. So they lost two games of revenue.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it's fun to watch Detroit, a team that's been down for so long. So they found the right coach, the right quarterback. They seem to have done everything right, and we shall see. Buffalo.
Funny is they got their quarterback from the Rams. They traded quarterbacks because the Rams wanted. Who is that that's over there? The that's so well for them.
Oh,
and they ended up with Goff, and Goff just.
He's
for the Rams.
Stafford.
Matt Stafford. They traded for Matt Stafford and gave them Goff, and Goff is doing a tremendous job for them.
In fact,
Dorsey is the mastermind behind rebuilding that team. The same Ken Dorsey that was working on rebuilding us until
wasn't it John Dorsey?
Was it John Dorsey?
Yeah, Ken Dorsey.
Ken
Dorsey is the guy.
John Dorsey, you're right. He's going to lose his job. I think that's the reason they shuffled off, they forced him to give up the play calling because that way they could blame Dorsey for not scoring and not advancing.
You think Stefanski's safe? I don't think
From this ownership, no. I think there'd be trouble doing it, but I think they could. You know, the thing is, He's proven with the right pieces there, and the right pieces were not Deshaun Watson. You know, he's taken these other quarterbacks that are a different type of quarterback than Watson, yeah, and been able to work with them and be successful with them. Yeah. He's a two-time coach in 5 years coach of the year, yeah, the last one being last year. Do you fire a guy right after he's won the coach of the year? Especially with the way the defense is playing.
With this doofus? The woman ownership? Answer that question. The doofus is owned.
That's the unpredictable part here. You know, and basically, it's not the offense that's losing games now. It's the defense.
Who was the guy that kept around for two or three years that only won a game?
Oh, Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackson. So maybe they'll keep him. I think it's not the coach. He had injuries with the offensive line. He had the ownership force upon him, a quarterback that doesn't work in his system.
Right, and he tried to change the system for Deshaun this year. And he still didn't have a single game 200 yards or 20 points, mm-hmm, until Deshaun went down, got replaced, and all of a sudden we could get yards and we could score points.
Yeah. Another guy, too, I think is in jeopardy is the head coach of Cincinnati. They're only 4-7.
I think their biggest part was letting go their best running back.
Mixon.
He's with the Ravens, I think.
Yeah. No, not the Ravens, but I can't. Because the Ravens got Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry, that's right, that's right.
He's somewhere, but... He's doing well.
He's doing well.
Yeah.
And his running game opened up Burrow.
Yes,
I honestly believe that. That's it's right. Just like saying, you know, once Chubb went down, our running backs were not able to carry the ball like Chubb, and therefore took away a lot of our running game.
Yeah, well, Taysom Hill opened up the game for
that's right,
the quarterback for New Orleans.
Which was Derek Carr. And we've always – we talked about him when he was with the Raiders.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about
he's
way
been
back in when they were in – they weren't San Francisco, were Oakland Raiders. We talked about him when he was with the Oakland Raiders, how he was a franchise quarterback. And you could build a team around him.
Well,
and he's had his ups and downs this year, even with New Orleans. Yeah. But they sure beat the snot out of us.
Yeah, well, that last quarter was amazing how bad. I got to see the highlights. I didn't get to see the game.
So you must have been watching the New Orleans highlights.
Well, no, if you go to the NFL website, you can go and see the highlights. It was like 5 minutes of... I guess you're a Browns fan, low lights, but the connection between Winston and Judy were excellent. I mean, there's some good passes in the game. He threw over 300 yards. You know, Deshaun Watson didn't even get over 200 yards in his seven starts.
No, nor over 20 points.
And the defense just...
What was our final score?
35-14.
14. So we would have had, if we hadn't missed the field goal and the three field goals and the one extra point, we'd again had over 20 points.
Yeah.
With over 300 yards.
Then the special teams collapse. You had a guy run the back. Was it a punt?
Yeah, all the way.
Two touchdowns and a punt return. I mean, and they were only favored by a point. New Orleans was only favored by a point. Basically an even game.
Yeah.
And
yeah, considering that they were home. And you usually get 3 points for being at home, so that means they expected a lot more out of the Browns than what they got.
And Kansas City lost 9-1. My sister was happy, not because she doesn't like Kansas City, but her team of all teams, she was a Miami Dolphins fan. Still is. I don't know why. But they had the last undefeated season, and she doesn't want another team ever again to go undefeated. That's the only reason. Now they can finish out the regular season. And I, my goodness gracious, you've got Buffalo with a commanding lead in their division.
Yes.
You got Pittsburgh with 8-2. And they're two games.
And they were predicted at the beginning of the season to be the last place team in this division.
Yeah.
Which only goes to show you Mike Tomlin knows what he's doing.
Much to the chagrin of a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's time for, you know, the man has the best record.
He's never had a losing record there, and he's been in playoffs how many times and such, and what he has done with questionable quarterbacks.
Yeah.
this year.
Yeah. He even had the guy to play the guitar.
He's down in, what, Atlanta, I think?
I don't know where he is.
And he's been starting. He's been actually playing pretty good.
Well, they're in the lead in that division, which has always been the bad division. The NFC South guy, Atlanta wins, is 6-5. And Tampa, you know, our friend Baker's has some problems. Joe Flacco's been benched.
Has he?
Okay. Yeah, he's been benched. Hasn't been doing well for the Colts in the last few games. So maybe reality is, you know, kicked in.
Maybe.
But he fit the system last year, and it was great. It was a great win. It was happening. It reminded me of the equivalent of the Guardians pizza from Napoli. I mean, kind of vibe.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
We had him for 1 year,
yep.
Napoli, and we had Flacco for 1 year, and he came in, and I'm Wacko.
We would not have made the playoffs if it weren't for Flacco.
Wacko for Flacco.
Yep. Man, yeah.
So I don't know if they could have kept him would make any difference, because he had some difficulty with the Colts. Kansas City's, it's tough. I mean, you got the Chargers, who's 7-3. They're behind. Houston's barely leading the South of the AFC 6-4. I mean, nobody's really, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Kansas City are the, Houston Texans are the leaders right now. And Houston's had their problems the last few games. Philadelphia is finding their stride, but Detroit, 9-1. Who would have thought? They lost the first game of the year and haven't looked back. The NFC, the National Football Conference West, Arizona's leading 6-4. I mean, nobody's running away with that, so we shall see. But the future of the Browns is very much in question, from the stadium, which has to have some public money. And who wants to cough up money for a team that's 2-8? Could be only 2.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they'll win another game.
I know Raphael, who volunteered, said his prediction is, and he did this before last game, is that the Browns would not win another divisional game this year.
Well, that's a possibility.
It's a possibility.
They
might not win another game, period.
They got next Thursday, the Steelers. Then on a Monday night, they got the Broncos. Then they play the Steelers again.
Yeah.
Kansas City on the 15th of December. The Bengals on the 19th. Maybe that'll be a meaningless game with both teams not really doing well. The Dolphins aren't doing well. I mean, they're 4-6. They've had all kinds of quarterback problems.
Yes, they have.
And then, in fact, there's rumor is that the game on Monday night, a week from, not this Thursday game, but the Monday after, may be flexed.
Okay, okay.
Maybe flex and put.
And that's odd, because usually Monday doesn't get the flex. It's usually the Sunday night game that gets the flex.
I mean, you really want a 2-10 team?
No.
Oh, it's time.
It's time. It is time this time.
Okay, I was tired when I put these together.
Okay.
I have a great joke about nepotism.
Okay.
But I'll only tell it to my kids.
I like that one.
I used to be a personal trainer. Then I gave up my 2-week notice.
Okay.
All right. That's it. I told you I was tired.
Hey, we'll be back with the good Captain being a little bit more refreshed next week. Unless he has more flight problems there. You don't know.
No, I'm not going anywhere.